This is the KPQ Legislative Hotline, the weekly live update from your lawmakers at the state capitol in Olympia. On News Radio 560 KPQ, FM 101.7.
And good morning, KPQ News Time, 8:05. Welcome to Hour 3 of the KPQ Morning Updates. On the air for this Thursday, the 6th of March, 2025, a legislative hotline morning for us here. And today it includes 7th District State Senator Shelley Short, along with 13th District State Senator Judy Warnick, joining us live from the Capitol in Olympia this morning. Senators, I appreciate the time very much. Thanks for giving us some time this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for letting us join you.
Absolutely. So we were just talking about another critical deadline, and it's approaching here in about another week. We were just talking about here. So share with our listeners what that would be.
So we are on the floor full time now. We started that on Monday. The next deadline for bills to be off the Senate floor is March 12th. The only caveat is if there are bills that fund the budget and somehow, you know, those can continue through the process. But this is a huge deadline for Senate bills.
All right.
Those bills that she talked about are necessary to implement the budget is that term for bills that may still be going through policy committees or the budget committee.
All right. So as far as bills that already died on the vine, as they say, was there any legislation that you felt was truly unfortunate, perhaps besides those that were your own, that maybe didn't make it, squeeze past at all in the first deadline?
I unfortunately had one of those. People think it's easy to pass bills, and it's not. Actually, it shouldn't be, because at some point, every bill becomes a law that becomes a regulation. But I had one I was working on for ranchers that are dealing with the effects of the increasing wolf population. It was a bill to help the Fish and Wildlife better define indirect compensation. When you look at indirect compensation, that's like lost animals at the end. Say you have a higher percentage of lost animals at the end of grazing season, or you have really low pregnancy rates or low weight gain. Those are things that a rancher can actually, submit funding for. I wanted them to do it a little differently. Unfortunately, that bill did have a cost to it, not much, but it had enough of a cost that the budget committee did not advance the bill. So that's one I've lost so far. But I have a few others that are now in the House.
And I had a strange occurrence with one of my bills. It has to do with agritourism. A lot of farms and orchards want to do a little farm stand or something a little bit bigger than that. And we had what I thought was a worked out agreement for my bill. It's 5055. And the majority party turned down the agreement. So the bill passed. In a very skinny form, and I don't think it does exactly what our agritourism folks need. So I'm going to have to reach out. It's in the House now, and I'm going to have to reach out to the House members wherever that committee or that bill goes, and try to craft some type of an amendment that through the House that would help more the counties and the folks that want to set up an agritourism business. So that was odd. The bill went over. It was okay, but not really what I wanted. So that was a different one. That's the first time that's happened to me.
I do want to let your listeners know that one bill that did not get out of the budget committee, which we were thrilled with, was the bill we dubbed the Initiative Killing Bill. That was a bill that would have markedly increased penalties and requirements on signature gatherers. We called it the solution in search of a problem, I think in part because, you know, folks were successful. You know, people in the state of Washington were successful in bringing, you know, their beefs, if you will, to the legislature. And that bill died in the budget committee. We were really happy that bill did not come out.
All right. Well, we've got a few bills that are still alive, as you mentioned, Shelley, and let's stay with you as we talk about one of those right now you wanted to mention this morning. It has to do with unemployment.
Well, this is a bill that would give unemployment benefits to striking workers. And I think if you look at the situation with Boeing and the length of time, you know, that strike occurred, it would bankrupt our unemployment insurance system. And just to remind folks, you know, businesses pay into that system. So there is money available for workers that through no fault of their own, you know, lose their jobs. This is an added layer that I think will be a tremendous burden to our system. The interesting thing I just started getting notes on this is that school districts are really worried about this. So apparently striking teachers could be eligible for unemployment during their strike. I do understand that workers oftentimes feel like, you know, companies put them in a corner. I've met with union workers and people who get frustrated. So I do understand there is that situation, but it would be a tremendous burden on our unemployment insurance system.
All right. And Judy, anything to weigh in on as far as that's concerned?
I am very concerned as a small business owner. I contribute to that fund through our taxes, our payroll taxes. And so if someone from my company needs that unemployment insurance for whatever reason, it may not be there. And not because of a strike, but because of a layoff or a decision that we've had to make as a business. So it's just very, very frustrating when the businesses contribute, but then when a union, and most of these are unions that decide to go on strike, that will deplete the funds. They were basing some of the information on two other states. And we had a fairly good sized strike last year, and it was a Boeing strike. That would have really reduced the funds. It would have impacted it tremendously because it was a long strike.
And talking with 13th District State Senator Judy Warnick on today's KPQ Legislative Hotline, part of the morning update today alongside 7th District State Senator Shelley Short. Judy, I want to stay with you and talk about some other legislation this morning. And this would be SB 5098. It has to do with gun restrictions. Yeah. Excuse me. Did I quote it wrong?
No, that's it.
Oh, okay,
that's
very good.
5098.
Yeah.
And it passed the Senate yesterday. It was completely one-sided support, and it was the bill would restrict possession of weapons. I thought we pretty much had restricted weapons in almost every place, but they found a few more places, and they used the term that they wanted to protect children, so any facilities where children might be present, parks, playgrounds. And they added county fairs and county fair facilities. That is a big deal for us. I think the impetus for this was a tragic shooting at the Grant County Fair last August. And the tie-in is the young man that had the gun that discharged it and hit two of his friends. He was from Wenatchee. So, and there was supposedly a gang-related incident the day before, and he brought his gun to our county fair. It discharged, and it hit two young girls. So, and he was only 15 at the time. So he didn't have the right to have that pistol in the first place. And this bill would say you have to put signs up to warn people that the public that this is an area where there is a prohibition. I don't think he would have paid any attention to a sign at the entrance of the fair. So very frustrating. It's going to put the fairs in a difficult position. We have gun shows. Apparently they are going to be exempt. But then I, in the past, have done what's called cowboy mounted shooting. So we use guns, they're black powder guns, they don't have bullets, to shoot balloons. And it's a contest. And I think it's done in the Wenatchee area. It's done all over the state and nation. But what is that going to do for that contest? So it's very frustrating that we have to once again tell people where they cannot take their guns inadvertently or on purpose.
Judy, I'm very familiar with the story related to the teenager in Moses Lake. Wrote about it after it happened, and then just recently did a story regarding upgrades to security at the Grant County Fairgrounds. And I know part of that story was the consideration of metal detection equipment entering the fairgrounds, and they were tabling that for legislation that might be passed just like this. So does now it appear that maybe something like that might actually be implemented at the fairgrounds? I know that's not necessarily your just jurisdiction, but these are the kind of things you're concerned about?
Yeah, I am. And I was on the fair board, the Grant County Fair Board, for years before I got this job. And so I'm very well aware of security measures. I did talk about that when I talked about the bill, that I think it should be up to the individual fairgrounds and individual facilities. Yakima has had metal detectors at their fairgrounds. I don't know if they still do, but they have in the past. And so I think each county, each facility should have the option to put metal detectors if they want. And, you know, both Grant County and Yakima County have had issues with gang members. And so it should be up to them to decide what to do.
All right. 13th District State Senator Judy Warnick alongside 7th District State Senator Shelley Short today here on the KPQ Morning Update Legislative Hotline in session as the sessions in Olympia continue for this season. Shelley, I want to swing back to you and talk about some crime bills that you wanted to focus on this morning, one having to do with juvenile offenders and another with early release from prison.
Sure. We'll start with the early release. So currently, Washington has already done a lot of work to eliminate, you know, low-level offenders from juvenile rehabilitation. And I totally understand that. You know, we want our kids to be able to do better. We know that oftentimes there are poor decisions that are made in the heat of the moment. But the concern that I have about this bill is essentially the remaining folks in juvenile rehabilitation are the very serious criminals. These are violent crimes like robbery, murder, manslaughter, drive-by shooting, and assault. So under this bill, many of these individuals would become eligible at 24 under this bill for release. And I just, when you think of those levels of crimes, those aren't low-level crimes. And I think when you think about victims and survivors of these crimes, you know, oftentimes the sentencing process really provides closure to them. And I just think what we're doing in society, and I think we're seeing it overall, is that nobody has to you know, be responsible for consequences, whether they're in our schools, in our communities, you know, in our juvenile facilities, just the things that kids do. I just think it really does not set a good example. We're going to be fighting this bill hard. We have a number of amendments. I don't know if it's going to come up, but I wanted to let your listeners know these are some of the bills that are coming before us on the Senate floor.
All right. So again, we'll be keeping an eye on that legislation as it continues to further potentially through the state Senate this morning. Judy, I want to turn back to you real quick and finish out with your comments regarding the governor's recent visit to your caucus. You said that does not happen or has not happened very often in recent years or recent sessions. And Governor Ferguson's visit was an interesting one.
It was very, very interesting. And I appreciate the fact that he agreed to come. We invited him shortly after he was sworn in as governor. And so he just came a few days ago to visit with us. And it was kind of like a sit down around the kitchen table type of discussion. He listened to our concerns. We talked about the budget. That's the first big issue on everybody's mind. And taxes. He admitted, he said, I haven't done a budget before. And so he said, I'm getting up to speed. I have to learn. One of the biggest issues that it affects Senator Short's district, my district, and all the districts in Eastern Washington is the Fish and Wildlife Commission. He did not approve the last two appointments that Governor Inslee had made. And so there are two now open seats on that Fish and Wildlife Commission. He told us he's interviewed 14 people for those two positions. We're hoping that he will pick two that will give the Fish and Wildlife Commission more of a balance. Fishing, hunting sometimes hasn't been really considered by the commission. It's more like wildlife protection, which we all want to do, but we need a balance of members on that commission. We talked about emergency powers, what his thoughts are on that, because going forward, I hope we never have an emergency like we did a few years back, but talking about that. And then the final one that a lot of people are looking at is the California standards for trucking how we're going to be looking at that in the future. A lot of people are having a hard time buying new trucks in Washington State, and operating trucks. And that's what keeps our economy going, especially in the agricultural world just commerce in general. So very, very good visit with him. He called out a few of our members. He's willing to work with us. We know we're not going to be able to agree with all his decisions, and he understands that. But I was impressed that he came in and just had a sit-down meeting with us.
All right, very good. Again, the 13th District State Senator Judy Warnick alongside 7th District State Senator Shelley Short joining us today here on the Legislative Hotline as part of the KPQ Morning Update for Thursday, the 6th of March. Senators, I appreciate the time very much. Thanks, as always, for everything you do in Olympia and for joining us this morning. We'll look forward to another chat here in a couple weeks.
Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.